Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick Wayne.
And we've completed the Oktoberfest run.
And as soon as we do that, it snows.
Right. And so why don't we drink some, you know, summertime grapefruit beers?
I mean, you know, makes sense to me, man. Horse Thief Hollow, 104th and Western. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this looks like a American Pale with grapefruit.
Yeah. I was at Binny's and I saw this on the shelf. And I didn't really know what I want. I didn't want like a double hazy thing. Yeah. And it's sometimes overwhelming. And then I was like, we haven't had Horse Thief Hollow in forever.
No.
Maybe since Little Wings.
Yeah. And that's the beer they offer people when they say, give me something that tastes like Miller Lite.
Right. And because they won an award for that, right?
They did. Okay. Yeah. They won a few awards for World Beer Cup and GABF for like some of those smaller, not too brew too often styles.
Okay.
You know, yeah, they're a good crew, man. They were born out of that homebrew club, Chaos. I think one of the guys, their first brewmaster was a Chaos guy.
Okay.
That was brewing there. And I think since he's left, he went back home over east, you know, to the East Coast or something. But that's when they started winning right out the gate.
We got someone jumping in the lake in this beer, so we're really, I'm trying to hold on to any life of what summer or fall was, but then it snowed today, so. Here I am, you know. Grapefruit beers.
Grapefruit pale. This isn't bad. In fact, I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be diving into more, I don't know, bigger stouts or things like that as the season goes on.
Exactly.
But I don't know. This punches you in the face with that grapefruit. When I first poured it and then I went up for the drink, I was like, whoa.
They're not shy about the amount of grapefruit that's in here.
I kind of like it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, all right, we're going to sip on this. Feels weird not having a stein in my hand.
You know, that's the beauty of it, though, man, you know? Like, I'm glad that it's a seasonal, you know, because I'm kind of...
Done?
I'm a little Marzened out, man, you know?
I am Marzened out. I saw one. I was out at Fox Republic, again, out in Yorkville. They had their Marzen on, and I was just like, no thanks. I had it. It's fine, but I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if they had a pumpkin.
They did have a pumpkin beer.
I mean, I might try a pumpkin.
It was.
Taylor Taster.
Yeah. My aunt got it, so she got a taster. I tried it. It tasted like pumpkin pie.
Okay.
It was pretty good. Okay. But not like, I don't need more than a little taste.
Not cracking your all-time pumpkin list. Up there with
Pumpkin
and
Shipyard
and Dogfish.
Okay.
And the one from the old Tinley Park Brewery. 211, 250, 350?
350, the punk. Yeah, the Oktoberfest pumpkin one.
Yeah. It's not cracking up.
I don't think so, yeah.
Okay.
I forget what I had, but I had some like lighter beers. The lobster food truck.
Lobster?
No, Maine Lobster.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they were out there. They're the ones that were on Shark Tank. So they have like a bunch of locations.
Really?
Yeah. So that was good. I don't know why I continue to find myself in Yorkville.
I mean, that's not, you know, you gotta, that's very intentional.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to go to Yorkville.
I know.
You know, Yorkville's kind of out of range. It's almost the rural area.
No.
Like it's not like the Chicagoland area anymore. It's like whatever's after Chicagoland.
Yeah, you're like basically in it's a suburb of DeKalb.
See?
At that point, almost, right? Yeah, kind of. It's like which one are you want to be a suburb of DeKalb or Chicago still, but you're far.
Yeah.
But yeah, was out there hanging out. It was packed. We were there Saturday night. It was busy.
People like to drink.
I guess, but I don't know. It's kind of surprising. And it was like a younger, I don't know, like 20, 30-year-old kind of people. Usually it's like older people, because those are people that have money to spend on $8 beers.
So. Is it a restaurant, too?
No.
Oh, okay. So it was just straight-up tap room. Mm-hmm. Slanging suds.
Yeah, and the brewmaster was there. This was the brewmaster at Limestone, and then he was at Hop Vine for a decade.
Yeah, Ken McMullen.
Ken, that's right.
Yeah.
He said this was his first spot without a kitchen, like beer only. Didn't have to worry about what was happening with the food. And he was liking that.
Yeah, so. I guess streamline things, you know. How much of a profit generator is that food, you know? Like, because it probably, you're charging $7 for that glass of beer. And what, it costs you maybe $2 to fill it, maybe?
Sure. But then we've talked on here, why am I at Fox Republic if they don't have food? I was there, I guess, because they had the lobster food truck there. So I went there for that. I didn't go there to go to Fox Republic.
That's funny.
So
you're following this lobster truck.
Even though there's multiple locations, but my mom and aunt and uncle, they're out that way, so they wanted to go.
So they were like, yo, we don't see this lobster truck too often out here.
Right. Okay. And I'm like, well, I think the lobster truck said Sketchbook Skokie today, too. I could just do that, and we could eat on FaceTime.
Wow. That's funny.
So, but the food got us out there. The beer didn't get us to Fox Republic.
Interesting.
It's fine beer. It's good. I find myself there often. It was in our lineup at kind of a mid-range Oktoberfest.
What are you drinking first, Fox Republic or Alarmist?
Alarmist.
Okay.
Proximity.
Oh. No, I mean just period, if they're both on draft.
If they were both on draft, Alarmist.
Okay. What are you drinking first, Fox Republic or Ravinia?
That would be a...
I'm trying to see like where it falls in
your
travels.
Yeah, that would be
a little toss. It might be a toss-up?
That might be a toss-up.
Okay.
So that's probably where they rank in my, like, lineup.
Fair. Pretty soon we won't be able to call Ravinia anymore.
Yeah, the brewery formerly known as.
Yeah, and they'll go by a symbol, like Prince did.
Right. They should just go with like R and then a bunch of like the letters, like a swear word would be.
Yeah.
So then, I don't know how you would say it then.
Yeah, it'll have to be unpronounceable.
Right.
Like, this is an unpronounceable symbol we're protesting.
But yeah, that was one of my stops this past weekend, and the other one was Alarmist. So mention that one.
Nice, nice. Home of Le Juice and Crispy Boy.
Right. They got Crispyville now.
Crispyville.
That's their new premium lager.
Oh man, you know, only thing better than a lager is a premium lager.
Mm-hmm. But they're still doing premium lagers in these 16-ounce cans. They gotta go 12-ounce can if they want to be real premium.
If you want to be primo.
Yeah.
Get your 12 ounce.
Right now, you're just trying to be cool.
Yeah. 12 ounces, I mean, 16 is a lot for a lager.
Yeah.
You know? Nobody's going well, Lil Buddy is the closest to it, but nobody's going the Coronita route where, you know.
The Ranger IPA people.
Oh, they're coming out with, what is it, mini rips or something, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I heard about this.
I think they're like,
so a Fat Tire.
8 ounce.
Is it maybe New Belgium? Fat Tire is New Belgium, sorry. So New Belgium.
Yeah. Is that New Belgium?
Voodoo Ranger?
Voodoo Ranger.
I think so. Because it's either New Belgium or Sierra. It's got to be New Belgium.
Or are they their own thing?
Well, I'd call them Fat Tire because I don't really drink a lot of New Belgium.
So yeah, they're coming out with those 8 ounce cans. I think Little Brother is 6.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in between.
There you go.
That seems like a good size format. Little Buddy's maybe sometimes a little too little.
I tell you, man, Little Buddy is making the rounds because I was in Milwaukee this past season for maybe still like June or something for a size game. And at the little farmer's market in the center of town, getting classic Milwaukee Bloody Marys, and they're offering you Little Buddy as the
chaser
instead of the little bitty High Life. In the past, it would have been a little bottle of High Life.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, many Little Buddy's making the rounds, man.
That's cool. Okay. But yeah, Alarmist, Fox Republic, my couple stops this past week.
Right on.
What about you?
I don't know, man. It's all kind of blurry, man. But we did make it to Prop Day. Well, the artist formerly known as Prop Day. Mm-hmm. This year it's Rare Day. Prop Day I canceled at the last minute. So this is Goose Island's block party where you get an allotment and you get to sample all of the Black Friday releases.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when the weather behaves, this is a very legit party. Okay. I think the longest line was for something called BCS Confessionals, where they had like a full-blown church set up, and then you could go in and confess your sins, and they'll record it, and then they give you a mystery report. So
okay.
I was in this line for like 20 minutes, and you're like, I mean, you know what? Fuck this line. You know. So then I was like, you know how they get down. Just, it's the same configuration as Block Party, so it's literally over three blocks.
Oh,
you know,
really?
The block that the brewery's on, and that the block that the side block.
The north-south lot.
And then
block.
And then the block after that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's where, or Great Central, the one closest to Great Central.
Okay.
So, let's see, on the main block in front of the brewery is the Bardstown Bourbon County, and Bardstown Distillery is there pouring whiskey.
Oh, shit.
And then right next to that is Macaroon, and then down at the end of that block is Rare.
Okay.
And then on the other block, you have a train car for Prop. But then it's not just this year's Prop. It's like every Prop since 2020.
Okay. Please get rid of these.
Yeah. And then Vanilla. Oh, and then Vanilla. Okay. So, and I'm sure I'm missing one. But
so you need a ticket to go. This is not like Block Party. You can just show up and pay as you go.
No. This is like, I don't know, $100 or so. And it comes with four of the six bottles.
Okay.
And a fancy cup. So, I mean, $400, I mean, and you get to try them all. When, you know, you get five tokens. You get a complimentary BCS. They're pouring nonstop honkers in the brewery.
Okay.
I mean, it's actually a pretty good deal.
Also cost a token?
No.
Honkers?
Honkers is on the house.
Oh. Okay.
Complimentary honkers.
Oh.
So you walk in, you get a complimentary BCS. If you go to the bar, you get complimentary honkers. And then your tokens, like five or seven, is that's just for the pours.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So
All right, $100. That's pretty good.
And you get to leave with four bottles, I think, Macaroon, Vanilla, Prop and Rare and a glass.
Okay.
So this is a good hang, actually. This is actually a really good value.
So in the past, Rare Day, or it wasn't called Rare Day, it was called Prop Day, and you only really got Prop, right?
No, it was the same kind of box. So there were other items in there. I actually never went to Prop Day.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I might have went to the first one, but they didn't have a fancy box. There are other beers in the Prop box. It's not just Prop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's not the full lineup. It's like two more bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they did a good job, man.
Busy or no?
It was relaxed. Okay. Like they could have sold more tickets to this thing. But you had to wait in line. If you wanted Vanilla, there was a wait, 5 minute wait. If you wanted Prop, you walk right up. If you wanted Rare, you walk up, maybe 3-4 minute wait. Like not a long wait for anything. Okay. You know, I think the way they had it spread out, they run events like people who know how to run events.
Sure.
You know, the longest, most ridiculous line is when they started tapping. You know, they got these single barrels coming out this year. Single barrel Bourbon County. So they're pouring single barrels straight from the barrel.
Oh.
At ambient temperatures, like the way the brewers are drinking. So, and that's the craziest line. In fact, it got so confusing that people just started merging three lines into one. Like,
because they're like, it was always a different barrel, right?
Exactly. So it's a Bardstown single barrel, or it's a Buffalo Trace single barrel. You know, and that's actually pretty cool. That's not something you would typically get to do at these things.
Did you try any of those?
I tried the Buffalo Trace one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you notice a difference?
Yeah, the Buffalo. It was actually my favorite pour of the day.
Oh, okay.
It's a little softer. It's a little sweeter. It's got all those vintage notes of OG, but those flavors are kind of concentrated, and I would say like the vanilla or the creaminess is kind of amplified a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really good. I was talking to one of the Goose guys about this. I was like, Rare comes in a fancy box, you know, it's aged for 2 years, you know, and it was double barreled, you know, it's 18%.
Yeah.
But you can only get it at the brewery, and you can only get it at Salt Shed on Black Friday. It's not going to hit distro. And it's $50 a bottle.
Okay.
You know, so people who miss out on that are going to see these, you know, some of them are blend single barrel, aged for 20 months. So that's almost 2 years. You know, same as fucking Rare.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, some people are going to see these. You know, some of these are aged for extended amount of time. So you're going to see those and be just as excited, I think. I know I would. Because I think rare is cool, but it's $50 a bottle.
Right.
And the single barrels, I doubt, are going to be $50 because it's a single barrel.
$30?
No, I was thinking like, shit, like $11.
Oh, right? Is that what regular Bourbon County is?
It should be the same price as regular OG.
I've never bought
OG.
OG in years.
OG was $9.99 at one point, but now I think it's closer to like $12 or something like that. Yeah.
And they sit on the shelf.
I think if you wanted to, you could go get all of last year's lineup right now if you wanted to. Yeah. So I think kudos to them, man, because they said this year Chicago is getting less than they've ever gotten of everything.
Is that because it's going elsewhere or because it's going less?
No, they definitely did not make less. because it should go elsewhere and get other cities excited about it. Because I think we're kind of spoiled here, like we say all the time. You know, these
right, it's sitting on the shelf, so obviously send it to other places because it's just going to sit on the shelf here because nobody cares after December 2nd.
Other brewery barrel programs have caught up.
Yeah.
At one point, these guys were far and away, you know, the game in town. I mean, that might be revolution right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there's other barrel programs that don't wait until one day to drop everything and make you wait in line. They do fancy shit all year long. You know, Microphone, Pipeworks, you know, just about any other local brewery. Shit, Rev's Depot's program runs for like 4 months.
Right.
You know, so there's just other options, you know. So it kind of, in Chicago, this is a more difficult thing to say, hey, come to my brewery and give me $50 for a bottle of beer.
Yeah.
You know.
But then they do tappings throughout the year at the Fulton Pub of different Bourbon counties. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those single barrels might show up on a random Friday, be like, oh, we got the Buffalo Trace one on right now.
Yeah. And a lot of this is drunk history, but I think what they were saying was, because I'm like, what's the rollout for the single barrels? I think what he said, and I could be getting this wrong, but it sounded like they're going to invite retailers out and let them taste everything, and the retailer's going to pick what he wants, and they're going to sell the retailer a whole barrel.
Okay.
So, you know, you go to Nick and Brad's, you know, liquor store. We like the Four Roses one. All right, cool. So we'll just buy an entire barrel of Four Roses, however that many bottles it is, 80 bottles.
They bottle them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it's unofficially your store pick. It probably won't say that on the bottle, but that's your store pick. So every single barrel you have will be from this one barrel of Buffalo Trace or Russell's or Wild Turkey or Blanton's or whoever the fuck. You know? Sounds like that's how they're rolling it out.
That's cool. Do people go to different stores to get different things?
People do this in
whiskey. Okay.
The store pick is going to taste different from, if I got a Knob Creek store pick, Delilah's picks a Knob Creek, it's not going to taste like the Knob Creek that you get at the store. It's going to taste different.
Okay.
And I think that's, you know, that's the goal here. But last year, Beer Temple did something like this with Deep Woods. There was a barrel you can only get at of Deep Woods, of Death Star, that you could only get at Beer Temple. Yeah. So this is kind of a common thing in booze.
Okay.
Maybe not in beer as much.
Right, because if I go to Binny's and I was like, oh, I really wanted this new beer from Alarmist.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have that one, or we sold out. I am not going to another place to try to get this beer. I'll be like, okay, I'll get something else. Yeah. So I'm not going to go to Binny's and be like, oh, you have a Buffalo Trace one? I was hoping you'd have a Four Roses barrel.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go somewhere else.
There was...
I'm personally not doing that.
Unlike years past, it was a little unclear on, are we sure the rollout is going to be like this? The one thing they did say about the single barrel was, this is something I've been talking about for years, like, you know, 4 or 5 years. But I think they had to test these bottles differently, because these are barrels that they don't necessarily work with individually. You know, like, because OG Bourbon County is just a blend of, like, four breweries. I think it's Wild Turkey, Buffalo Trace, Heaven Hill, and Four Roses barrels. So they take those and they blend them because they want to achieve a certain profile.
Yeah.
So they understand that process as a national rollout.
But there was that year they had single bottles.
They did have single bottles out.
Yes. They didn't tell anybody, but people figured it out.
People figured it out because you turn it over and you see the little two-letter code would tell you that this is a single barrel. Yeah. So it's that, but those were all of the barrels that were in OG.
Yeah.
So it was just those four distilleries that OG uses anyway. These are completely different barrels.
Oh, okay.
Completely different barrels, completely different ages, longer than the 12 months. So according to them, it's like, this is a different process for us. We had to test these a little differently because we let this shit sit in the blends barrel for, you know, 16, 18, 20 months, 24 months. You know, and it's a, you know, so it's a little different process according to them.
Yeah. So that makes me think when they test, when they rolled that out in that other Bourbon County, the regular, those other ones were already going in the barrels. It was almost like, because that was,
they were,
that was like 4 years ago. So that was already planned. Like, you're like, this stuff is planned out. They know what the next Bourbon Counties for the next 2 years are going to be.
For the most part, I think, yeah.
So, yeah. They just probably needed to see what the rollout, and if the demand was there, like almost hiding it in plain sight previously and be like, oh, okay, people reacted favorably to this. Yeah. This might work.
I think I'm most excited about trying all the single barrels, and I'm most excited about trying vanilla again. I think in 3 to 5 years, we'll be saying that vanilla, because vanilla is the most expressive one.
Okay.
You know, we'll be talking about how vanilla was the best one in the lineup, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Even though rare is the one, it's 18%, it's dangerously smooth. It's smooth the way, like, something that Rev put out at 18%.
Okay.
You're just like, this should not be this good and this drinkable at this ABV.
Yeah, you got to go to an event that had you tasting. I wasn't invited. So, but you got to try them all outside of this rare day, too. You went to another event.
This was, this was the preview. So, like, the annual preview for Black Friday, where you get a placemat and you get the six, and they talk about the six.
Okay.
And at the end of that night, the single barrels came out. So, vanilla was, I'm telling you, trying them all twice, the only one that I liked the most both times was vanilla.
Okay.
But so I think some people are going to think vanilla is gimmicky, because this vanilla, I think the truest expression for me, the truest expression of vanilla is like that vanilla, the very first vanilla rye, where it kind of straight up tasted like vanilla beans.
Yeah. Right?
But so anything other than that, people might not like. So this doesn't taste like straight up vanilla beans. This has a layered vanilla approach that kind of tastes like buttercream a little bit, right? Mm. Kind of tastes like the frosting on a cake, like a fancy cake. And then there's a hint of the fruitiness and the leatheriness of vanilla beans. But that's not the only thing you taste. So for some people, this might taste like a birthday cake, right? So I don't know.
But not birthday, Bourbon County.
Not birthday, Bourbon County. Mm-hmm. Which is not to be confused with anniversary, Bourbon County, which came out the same fucking year. But so I don't know. But rare is pretty good, man.
Okay.
Is it $50 good? I mean, are we doing this $50 a bottle shit?
What was the most expensive last year? Was Blanton's was like 2 or 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, that was here. They did a bunch of fancy ones.
That was the anniversary year, yeah, right.
Anniversary, that one bourbon, the old Forster 150 came in a big white box.
Right.
And Blanton's came in a bag with a little horsey.
Those were all pretty expensive.
Yeah. So the rare box is very pretty, right? The gorgeous packaging. But I'm not here for super fancy packaging if it leads to these high prices.
All right, because where does this package end up? Trash.
I mean, I got this box. It's fun to pet. It's fun to look at when I'm drinking it. What the fuck am I doing with this box? Am I going to name this box? Am I going to repurpose it?
Putting this box on the shelf? Why?
So, I'm not with these fucking boxes, man.
But they're a marketing company, right? In a sense, so they have to market the beer to you or to the people.
Yeah, and this is their way of, you know, I think their goal every year is to get people that aren't necessarily in the beer segment. You know, they're trying to attract whiskey drinkers. You know, they're trying to attract, you know, people that maybe don't drink beer all the time.
You can buy a big ass bottle of Four Roses from Costco for $39. I'm not spending $50 on a bottle of beer that I have to drink now. That Four Roses from Costco is going to last a little while.
You know, the fun part about all the other fancy whiskeys that they came out with, for the most part, you know, you could try the beer against the source whiskey.
Oh, at Rare Day?
I mean, in general, if you wanted to.
Oh, in general.
And wants to. No, there are very few people sitting out here with a bottle of King of Kentucky to try it with.
Right. We were at that event. Was it the Old Forester one? Or they had the bottle there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was the Old Fitz. in the decanter, 17-year-old decanter.
I was like, oh, that's cool. No one's sitting there with that because it's fun to try both. You want to be like, oh, can I taste what's in this whiskey, this bourbon, in this beer?
I think, you know, I've said we always give Goose ideas, you know, because, you know, I like Goose. It would be cool, and maybe it's just us because, you know, we're assholes. It would be cool to offer a pony version of this whiskey to try next to the beer so you can kind of see the full progression. You know, because you're going to find OG, you got this beer. And the source whiskey, like you brought up a good point, the 2-year barley wine and 17-year-old Old Fitz cask was really good. And what made it even more special is that we got to try that whiskey. That was cool as hell.
Yeah.
And it kind of, but it gives you a sense of connection to why you would pay for these fancy packaging and the fancy beer. Yeah, it connects you more, not just because it's cool, you know?
Right. When you get poured out 3 Bourbon Counties and you're like, this is the $50 one. Here's the $11.99 mm-hmm. one. Here's some more in between. And you're like, well, they all look the same.
They all look the same. It's such a, you have to work sometimes to get nuances. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think we're just riffing, but it was fun. I was asking them, because I did notice about them. I'm like, dude, one thing they do, you know, I'm a little more interested in whiskey because of Goose. And I'm a little more interested in, like, you know, just somebody source adjuncts, you know, you just pay attention to them more. You know, I might show up to the spice shop more often now because of these guys, really.
Okay.
And I was telling them, I'm like, you know, you guys have a level of transparency that other people don't. Three Floyds sometimes won't even tell you what hops are in their fucking beer. It just is an example. And he's like, you know, that's a lever that we kind of had to pull because when we sold to AB, you know, even our contemporaries looking at us like, we don't know what the fuck is up with those guys. Are they putting rice in their beer? You know, so they're like, in order to not get blown off, to get taken as a serious brewery that, you know, is actually in here, you know,
using real ingredients,
it was important for us to be as transparent as possible and say, hey, this is an open book. This is what we're doing. And this is where we get it from. And this is how much we use. And all that kind of shit was super important to them because they sold. And I had never heard them talk about it like that, you know.
Okay.
Because out of everybody we deal with over the year, they're the ones that kind of all the time say, hey, this is what we're doing.
Right.
And this is how we arrived here. And I think that's pretty cool. You know, it makes me more interested in it.
No, and that's good because otherwise they just fall into a brewery that AB InBev owns.
Yeah.
If they're not out there trying to be their own brand, they end up like a Legion just shut down here. What was their Seattle and AB InBev owned them.
Yeah.
And Elysian wasn't out there. Well, they're in Seattle, so it's us not knowing about it. But it didn't seem like you'd hear stories or things about what Elysian's doing.
Yeah. They are. I mean, for them to be almost 40 years old, they are alive and kicking. You know, I don't know who else is 40 years old out here. That is, they're relevant for, you know, for a couple months a year, Goose is relevant. And for a 40-year-old brewery, there ain't a lot of 40-year-old breweries that can say that.
Right. The Chutes.
Yeah, what's Brooklyn doing? Like, when the last time you just said, oh, I got to go get, you know, Black Ops. I got to go get the Four Roses Black Ops. It came out today.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, out of who else is in that group? Exactly.
And then Bells, right? Was Bells?
I think
so. Were they Bells a couple years after, or were they probably 88?
I think Bells might be 88, too.
Okay.
I mean, Bells, Hop Slam is still the hitter.
Bells, Brooklyn, Great Lakes, Goose, Deschutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what Brooklyn's doing. That's a tough one because New York's probably a hard beer scene in general.
Yeah.
But so. Deschutes is still doing a lot of stuff. You know, I think Bell's relies on that Oberon a little too much.
Oberon, and they've really been working the fuck out of the line extension on Two Hearted.
Okay.
There's like a double Two Hearted. There's a light Two Hearted. Yeah, they've really been working that.
And then Great Lakes, I don't know what they're necessarily doing.
You're not running out to get Lake Erie Monster?
No.
Hmm.
But that their stout is very good. The
Their Christmas ale is legit as fuck.
Yeah, their Christmas ale is great, and their, what is their stout?
Ellie Ness?
No.
The Dracula? Not Nasa Tafaru?
Is that them?
Is it Dracula? I think it is, though.
Hmm. I thought it was called something else. But
but I don't know. But, yeah. Other than Great Lakes, shit. Man, Great Lakes might have them if you're talking just all year. Because with Goose, you got pretty much 312 and VCS. If you're talking in packaging,
and
over,
they're like
over 12 months.
Well, you got Honkers sort of now.
Ooh, Honkers, yeah.
And
Honkers is delicious. They really fucked up the packaging of Honkers.
Right.
It looks just like the old Randy Mosher helped them with the redesign. They used to have 3-gallon root beer.
Forbidden Root?
No. The other one Roots, he did. It used to be
the root beer people, yeah.
It's downtown and now it's called like they changed the name of the place. It's the goddamn Berghoff.
Yeah.
Honkers Ale looks like Berg.
Oh, really? Maybe I haven't seen the package.
It's brutal. I just happened to see it.
And then they have this IPA that you're not mad that you're drinking, but you're not happy you're drinking it.
Yeah.
And then you got the 4-star, or the pills one, the pocket full of pills.
Oh,
pocket,
you know, pills.
That's great. That's Goose's best year-round beer.
Yes. Pocket pills.
Oh, and then the stupid fucking bear stuff, bear hugs.
I'm not here for any of the. Only hug I'm in for is Half Acre Big Hugs.
But, yeah. Hugs from Goose Island doesn't feel like Goose Island.
No. No, I see billboards. I'm just like, I'm out on this beer. Yeah. But if you talk Class 88, other than Bell's, Goose is the only one that's like year round, you know, people get excited about. But then really, it's just Bell's because Oberon, people get excited about Oberon, Hop Slam.
Right, but then Great Lakes, you got Christmas Ale.
Christmas Ale.
Their Conway Irish Red is very good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
Goose is missing, like, the Goose Christmas needs to come back.
Was it a Christmas Ale?
Goose had a Christmas Ale.
Okay. What was, I remember Mild Winter. I don't know what it was, though.
That was when they, I think, got rid of Christmas, or that was like adjacent to Christmas, but they were, it was in that time where, that moment where people were like, we don't want to call things Christmas beers because we want to include everyone. So we had this mild winter, but the Christmas beer was still around, but it was less marketed, and they kind of went after this mild winter, and now the Christmas beer's gone.
Okay. Yeah. And one last note about Goose. I really wish, well, Matilda and Sophie are still pretty good, but they kept rebranding it, and I really don't even see those beers anymore. They don't make the Sisters anymore. I mean, you could have rode those 4 beers out. You could ride the 4 beers out. You could ride BCS, the Sisters, Matilda and Sophie, and just, you really, if you really just stick to your guns and put those everywhere, you ain't really got to experiment with all this other shit.
I guess, but you're trying to get people to drink expensive beers all the time.
Okay.
They basically became, I think with the Sisters lineup and Bourbon County, became this brewery. It was like, yeah, they sell expensive beers. I don't drink those.
So you kind of have to pivot.
Yeah.
Pivot or die. Yeah, I guess that's true.
So.
But Rare Day was really good.
It all started with Rare Day. Now we end up.
Yeah, just riffing on Goose. Well, I had a good time at Rare Day. Rare Day was cool, man.
Awesome. Did you make it anywhere else recently?
Shout out to Suncatcher.
Oh, that's right.
You know, Suncatcher's on. Half Acre chose not to be a whole acre, as Brad has told us before. Mm-hmm. They decided their second location would be Suncatcher, which is basically Humble Park.
Right. Affiliated, but not.
Correct. So I was talking to Raj. Raj was Half Acre's oldest employee. So he went on a sabbatical. Because that's what you do when you hit like 20 years at Half Acre. You get like a ship and a
They give you a yacht?
They give you a ship in a glass.
They probably didn't know what to fucking do. They're like, we didn't. Why did you not leave and go to another company?
I think after so many years, he took a sabbatical. Then the pandemic hit. So the brewmaster at Half Acre, who lives near the Suncatcher location, Matt Gallagher, said, hey, I think you need to get on with this project. I think this would be really cool to do. So they got like a 10-barrel system. There's a plant shop. It was actually a farm. It's called a Chrissy Weber Farm. It's where you go like buy Christmas trees and shit.
Okay.
So this is the parking lot where they used to have their trucks. But instead, the trucks are gone, and this little building is now a brewery.
Okay, so Raj is, like, in charge of this
stuff? And the Half Acre Brewmaster are co-owners
okay.
of Suncatcher Brewing. So it's not even affiliated with Half Acre, because Raj doesn't work for Half Acre. Right. Matt does.
Right, because they were like, Raj, you've been here for 20 years. Leave. Like, go do something else. And he's like, I like it here.
I think it was like the pandemic hit and he was front of the house. So it's like, it impacted him.
Sure.
You know, so he's like, well, fuck. And that's when Matt Gallagher was like, I got my yacht. I got this boat. You know, what do I do here? And they said they've been working on it for 2 years, man. So Suncatcher is all about classic styles, low ABV.
Okay. But this was supposed to just be a summertime.
It was positioned to us. I thought when everyone talked about it, it was going to be almost like a Tasty Freeze where it was just like a seasonal brewery.
Yeah.
Like it would pop up in the summer and be done. But then it opened in like early November.
So it's probably year round.
It sounds like a year round thing at this point. There is a ton of parking on. It's basically at Chicago and Grand. You know how Grand's on a slant. Grand's a slant going north, so it's Chicago and Grand. So that's basically Humble Park. It's around the corner from the Gooseboro Warehouse, which is kind of funny. They have a ton of patio seating, and they have this big wooden wall, and behind the wooden wall is open the door. Okay. There's a taco shop right there. Yeah.
Chicago and Grand.
Yeah, so you know where you know where Chicago and Western would be the mothership for for Dark Matter.
Yeah.
So if you kept going on Chicago, you pass the Beetle, which is like a 2 a.m. bar. You know, sometimes they play some good music in the Beetle. Mm-hmm. And you keep going, you'll hit Kedzie. But before you hit Kedzie, you'll run into Grand and you'll see this place.
Okay.
You'll see the farm. You'll see the garden, farm and garden spot.
Not the Twisted Spoke. Isn't that Chicago and Grand?
No. That's Grand, but that's Grand and Ogden.
Ogden.
So it's further. It's further south.
Okay.
Yeah. This is
the other side of Lake.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the chicken place.
Oh, by Feed. Oh, by so Feed? Exactly. So it's like walking distance from Feed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all it's right. Like it's like a block from Feed.
Say that.
A lot of people don't know about Feed. So Continental, which is like a 4 a.m. bar. And a Feed opens at like 5 a.m.
Okay.
So all you gotta do, if you're hanging out, you know, ripping shots at the Continental, you know, just hang out for an hour and then just go to Feed and get breakfast and then go home.
I don't know if I've been to the Continental. If I have, I think it's haunted.
I remember being at Continental so they closed and we wanted to eat Feed, but they weren't open yet. So we just kind of sat on like bales of hay in this field next to Feed for an hour and then went to Feed.
So that's where Suncatcher is. So, a terrible location to like.
It's, I mean, I parked right in front.
Yeah, no, you can get to because no one, you can park there because no one's there, right?
It's in a surprisingly industrial section of town. There's like a bunch of rail yard stuff for the metro, right. And then there's a bunch of like these weird industrial spaces, mm-hmm. You know, for like carpet wholesalers and you know shit like that. It's a weird part of town. Right. As far as businesses go.
Yeah, because you're on the edge of Ukrainian village there.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, what neighborhood is that? Goose says they're in East Garfield Park. That's what the Goose... But I don't think this is Garfield Park, because you're on Chicago Ave.
Goose Barrel Warehouse is East Garfield Park?
They say it's in East Garfield Park.
Yeah.
So where are you if you're not in Westtown anymore?
That's got to still be Ukrainian Village.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe it ends at Chicago or ends at, I don't know where it would end at.
Cali or whatever 3000 West is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Oh, but it's right there.
Beers are good?
Yeah, I had the brown ale. And then I got out of there. I was just passing through. I was on my way back home, and instead of getting off at Addison, I got off at Chicago Ave and said, I'm going to go. There's no traffic either way. I'm like, fuck it. I might as well. And I saw on their IG they were open. So I'm like, well, fuck it. I'll just swing by there. And then, you know, instead of taking Expressway, I just took fucking Grand up.
I like this idea, but why am I driving there for a brown ale? It's like not because you said they're classic beers,
yeah.
Right? They're not exciting beers.
This feels like a neighborhood spot.
Yeah.
This is in line with all the hipster lowbrow shit that goes on between Chicago and Western and Chicago and Pulaski.
But the other like hipstery spot, the one next to Dayglow, what was that brewery?
Yeah, that closed. Yeah,
right next to the 606.
Yeah, I can picture it. I've been there. We've been there. They don't have classic beer cups. I'm drinking out of a rocks glass. I'm drinking my dark lager out of a rocks glass.
Like a pail.
Like an actual pail.
Yeah.
What is the name of that crew? I forget. They closed.
That was like hipster bullshit. That didn't work out. And they had food.
They had this place. They had hipster bullshit food.
Yeah, popcorn sardines. Which is pretty good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay. I had something like
You didn't want, but they had food.
Yeah.
Some countries has plants.
They got a lot of sun that comes in. They got classic low ABV styles.
I haven't seen the sun in like a couple weeks.
I've been using my grow light on my plants. I haven't been seeing the sun either. I feel like this. I wanted to go because I like Half Acre.
Yeah.
And I like Raj. And you know Matt Gallagher is a little too busy to like, but I like, you know, but I like the idea, and I wanted to see the joint.
100%, yeah.
But this is a fair question. Unless you live over there, would you go back? Outside of it has the new brewery smell. I want to see what it's about. Would you go back?
Yeah.
And I don't. Unless you live over there, you probably wouldn't, because it's kind of a pain in the ass to get to unless you're right here.
Right, because at that point you're not far from Midwest Coast. Because Midwest Coast is close to that Western.
Yeah, they're on Damon. So, yeah, Damon ain't far from Western.
Yeah. So, they're your closest brewery probably to go to.
Yeah, because the Gooseboro Warehouse doesn't have a tap room. Yeah. It's an event space.
And Midwest Coast is doing a lot of those same, like, boring beers.
Yes, old traditional styles, Brad.
Old man beers?
ESB. They got ESB and yeah, they're not doing triple IPAs.
You're going to convince Gen Z to come in and drink and call it traditional styles.
What? Yeah, this is a good question. Like, how are you? This section of town is like your fucking Malort shots, your old style, your high life, you know, your right. German lager. This is a German lager part of town.
Right.
You know?
You just got new wave, people that started in the early 2000s craft beer people being like, oh, I'll take this like good lager. I want this ESB. Who you're getting people that don't want to leave their house to come to your place.
Outside of people who work in beer, what kind of consumer are you getting?
Right. Is it big? Is the space big?
It's not terribly big.
That's good.
I think the outside space is like double the inside space.
But that's not open, right?
Oh, well, it's open. Oh. I mean, it's just 30 degrees
Christmas
out.
Trees.
Yeah. But, you know, but it's open. I think in the summer they're going to do good business because it's BYOB and they got a lot of outdoor space. And it's all windows. So you get a lot of good light. And they got the garage doors. I think they'll be fine as a place to just hang out and drink fresh beer. Because that part is missing over there, you know?
And they have a little bit of Half Acre safety money on this, right? Because it is but isn't affiliated.
See, and I wish I knew more about how...
Because Matt still has a brewer at Half Acre.
Yeah. But, you know, Half Acre, they've got some innovation going on. But their core beers are kind of on autopilot.
Right.
Right? So clearly he had some bandwidth to go start a whole nother brewery. They got their They got their brew house from Rock Bottom in La Jolla, California.
Okay.
So.
Who ended up getting Rock Bottom stuff here? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Rock Bottom on Chicago Ave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's the other Chicago. If you want to go all the way to Chicago, down to Chicago.
Yeah. So Suncatcher's online. That's going to be a good place in the summertime.
Okay.
Just to hang out and drink beers and eat tacos.
This is weird to get to. That's my only thing.
Yeah, if you're bar hop, that's not a brewery hop section of town. That's a bar hop section of town. You know, there's a bunch of bars over there, but you don't really brewery hop over there. So.
Hmm. I bet they don't package either. Then.
I think you got to go there. It would make sense for them to just have it go there. That's a good. That was one of these podcasts that were saying like you have to commit. To one or the other.
To package or...
Yeah. Non. Like Geneva Lager Works. That was a commitment to package because their tap room wasn't sustaining their business.
Okay.
So they had to go to packaging. But then it's like, oh.
Yeah, if you just... I think of like, because I was just there, like Fox Republic. Those beers don't need to be in the store.
Yeah.
But you need some beers for people to be like, I want to take beer to go. I'm like, oh, we don't have any beer. You got to drink it here. They're like, oh, then I will just buy someone else's beer. So you might as well keg or have a makeshift, like one of those remote or those canning people come in every month or so and just can a bunch of beers.
Yeah, probably like what
Horsey Fowl is doing. Like, you don't need beers. But this was in the store.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be in the store. But I wouldn't have got it then.
Because it's on the other side of town.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Suncatchers Online. I did fall into Old Irving for a second. I just tried the Krampus. And plus, I was out of beer at home, so I got a 4-pack of beers.
Which we said with Sergio, the place where the food looks so good on the internet, and it's hit or miss when you get it.
I think cheese curds and the pretzel are going to do you right all the time. But if you get like whatever else is special of the week or something, it's going to look great.
Looks right.
And then you get it. I've had this a couple times at Old Irving. You get it, and you're just like, damn, it looked really good.
Yeah, their wings are solid.
See? So they got some good. They got some selections. But, I tried the Krampus.
Oh.
You know, all these barrel-aged beers, man, they just start to run together after a while.
Yeah.
Only one that doesn't is Vanilla from Goose and 2x4. The 2x4 Benthic from Mafic.
Oh, okay.
2x4 Benthic is ridiculous. If you like coconut, it's ridiculous. It's got insane coconut, insane coffee.
Okay. Man. Well, we got Fobab coming up this weekend. This episode will come out after that. Yeah. But so we'll get to try a bunch of this stuff. I haven't been in a couple years because I've often been out of town.
Yeah.
This is the latest Fobab has ever been in their history of Fobabian.
Yeah, I wonder what happened. My guess is like, I can't imagine that they had an earlier slot in November and chose this slot. I'm guessing that something was going on.
Some sort of event.
Yeah, like a new edition at fucking Credit One Arena or something.
Yeah.
G Unit, featuring 50 Cent at Credit One, and we couldn't.
What other stuff happens at that space?
That's where USC, they do sports.
Okay.
So they do basketball and volleyball there.
Okay.
Other than that, they do concerts there. Yeah.
And then other school, like Columbia's graduation was there.
See, so it's an event space. Yeah. But Fobab's been there like 3 years in a row. I imagine Fobab would have preferential treatment over the other events. This seems kind of late.
That was like, we got more people than you're bringing in here. No.
And then so they lost their slot. That's too bad. Because this is the week of Thanksgiving, basically. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Right.
It was pretty late.
Pretty late. And people got shit to do. If you're going out of town,
you're prepping for your whole Thanksgiving thing.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to a beer event. It should be before this.
Yes.
I'd like to ask them what went into this call. Because they had to have had this talk.
Right. And if you're not going to do it, this feels like a bad weekend. You should have just done it the weekend of Thanksgiving and just leaned into this Fobab Black Friday, we know you're off kind of thing.
I mean, yeah, just make it another party. Right. It's the busiest party weekend of the year. Huh.
But we're going to go.
Yeah.
We'll recap it next time. If I should make it there, I'm hoping to try some stuff that I haven't seen in a while. I'll try this Goose stuff because I don't want to buy it, so I'm going to get it. I want to try stuff from, you know, Great Lakes or people that haven't been doing stuff. I'm not fucking around with cider. I'm not doing that.
No.
I don't need any of that.
I like trying some of the sour stuff from around the country. Crews I've never heard of, you know. There's a crew called Resident Culture in North Carolina that won Best in Show a few years ago. And I'd never heard their name before they won Best in Show.
Okay.
So I do like trying to understand some of the out-of-town breweries.
No, yeah, for sure. I'm just like, I don't need to fuck with cider on that day.
No.
Because I don't know enough about cider, and I'm not going to remember. Like, oh, you used Macintosh apples to make this one. Cool, why didn't you use Fuji? Oh, yeah.
Well, see, we tried Fuji skins, and we decided it was Macintosh.
The Macintosh cores with the Fuji skins, that's the one you want.
That's the sweet spot.
But that was a small run, and we didn't have enough. But excited for that. Look for that on the next episode. Anything else before we get out of here?
Man, I think that's it, man.
Deep Woods is undergo. I think or ongoing flannel pajamas, I think, is happening.
Yeah, all the bare lace things. Yeah, we talked about Krampus. Yeah, Deep Woods, flannel pajamas. No Miami Sprite.
No, there's the Cruz Blanca stuff.
Oh, yeah. Cruz Blanca is doing their...
I think we slept on last year.
Luchador. I've only had that stuff like once. I'm not into the artwork. The beers are good.
Beers are great. But I can only... like, that's one where I have them. They're great. I can never get them anywhere else in the world. Like,
you kind of have to go the day they come out there.
Or I have to go there, and I don't want a 13% stout with my quesadilla.
Yeah.
And my chips. This is not working for me.
Give me you know,
lime lager.
By the time you party with Goose, and by the time you go to Three Floyds, you're just like, man, I'm not really going down here for these barrel-aged beers. Go to Old Irving because it's easy to get to.
Yeah. Oh, and Sketchbook's barrel lineup should be happening soon, too.
I mean, I guess so. Yeah. What was the name of theirs? I'm drawing a blank.
Me too.
Yeah.
We will be corrected by this.
Yeah.
Solid stouts. Not like standout of Goose Island Rev stouts, but solid stouts.
All they do is make good beer. I think Sketchbook Skokie is probably one of my favorite tap rooms. If somebody asked me what my three favorite tap rooms were, I think Sketchbook Skokie would be one of the three.
I have never been in the winter, except for that event.
They do fire pits outside.
Oh, they do? Okay. Yeah. Because I love going there in the summer. Like, it just feels like that's my favorite place to just be like, oh, we got to meet people? Let's go to Skokie's Sketchbook.
Nice. They do good work.
Everyone can get there. There's parking. It's off the bike trail.
Yeah.
Best tap room in Chicagoland.
It's in the conversation. It's in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like hanging out at, and I actually like hanging out at Dugtail.
Okay.
I like hanging out at Dugtail. I like hanging out at Microphone. If it were me, I would say Microphone number one. I like hanging out at Microphone. Okay. And I might put Sketchbook number two, just knee jerk. I like hanging out at a lot of Sketchbook. City Proper tap rooms.
It was Metro.
Fuck.
It was Metro, right?
It was Metro, and it wasn't even close. Half Acres Tap Room is really good, Brad.
Yeah,
they got a really good tap room. Every time I'm there, I'm at the bar.
I would rather hang out at... it's a good tap room. I would rather hang out at Spiteful. I think Spiteful's a better hang.
I don't mind Spiteful. If Half Acres is bullshit... I feel
like you can hang at Spiteful. Half Acres, like... gotta have a table. What's happening here?
Yeah. You gotta have a table, you gotta have a server.
Yeah.
Not sure I'm into that.
Spiteful.
I mean, you're not wrong, you know. These are all good. These are all good. But I would put Chicagoland, I would put Microphone and Sketchbook in my conversation.
All right. Yeah. That's a good one for another episode as we close up this 2024. But that's going to do it. Some Horse Thief Hollow Grapefruit Pale Ale. I think we go big stout next week.
Okay.
I think we got to go in.
All right.
Or Christmas ale. But we don't need a whole month-long Christmas ale. But all right, that'll do it. Take care.
Cheers.